This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. You are listening to Geek Speak. Katie and Kay is supported in kind from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, and tutoring and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McGrair, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
So I launched my career as a Bitcoin millionaire today. I'm on my way.
On your way.
Yep.
So it just has to go to $1 million of Bitcoin and you're in good shape.
Let's see. I haven't done the math on it. Yeah, that would be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, if that happened.
So it's right around 10,000 right now, right?
Yeah, it's 11. Yeah, 11,000 and change. So I didn't realize that it was simple as getting an app on your phone. So as soon as I saw, I watched this little video about how to get into Bitcoin. And I'm like, oh, I'm so doing that. So I do all kinds of risky behaviors as long as there's an app to help me do it, you know. Like I actually bet on the Kentucky Derby every year.
Uh-huh.
So like $10. So I haven't hit it.
So you just do the one that's like 100 to 1 or whatever?
No, I like the one that I like.
So you just pick one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I kind of first of all pick one that I kind of like the name of.
Uh-huh.
And then I read about them, you know, and I kind of get to know the jockey and all. And then I go ahead and, you know, throw down. So, which I guess that's still a little ways off, right? Isn't that in March? Or
I don't even know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sometime in the spring.
Yeah. But all you got to do is get this app called Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're familiar.
I do have an account, yes.
Okay. And so, you know, the one thing I was going to ask you that I was kind of Googling around about. So basically the process looks like this. You get the Coinbase app.
Mm-hmm.
You create a user account, right?
Just set a very strong password.
Basic, simple stuff. Put in your first and last name, email address, and password.
Yes.
And yes, I did a really, really complex password. So complex that I probably won't be able to. So complex that from the time when I set it up to when I went to put it into my password wallet, I may have forgotten it. So hopefully it's right. Fortunately, there's just like a 4-digit PIN number that could be one of two different things. I know the rest of it, so I'll be okay. But so you set up an account, and then you go ahead and set up a method of payment.
Right. I believe there's four of them.
Actually, do an email verification.
Yes.
Say they send you an email with the code, and then they do a phone verification, right?
Yes.
They send a code, text a code to your phone. You put that in, and then you're all set to go. You go ahead and add a debit card or a bank account, or what's the third option? Is there a third option?
I think you can attach a Bitcoin wallet if you already have some, but I'd have to go log in and look. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. Anyway, so you go ahead and set up your method of payment. Then it's like, hey, how much do you want to put in your Bitcoin wallet? And so I said $25. So, and this is all in the name of, this is a business expense. You know, this is
research and development.
Yeah. I mean, because if I have customers that want me to help them with Bitcoin, I need to know what the heck's going on. You know, and if it's really scary, I need to be able to tell them, run away. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway, so I'm on the road to becoming a Bitcoin millionaire. And now my question for you is, how do I get, I know you can transfer money back to your bank account using the Coinbase app.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I, you know, want to pay for a cheeseburger with Bitcoin? How do I do that? Do you know?
Well, you should be able to get there'll be a public wallet ID.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll go into your Bitcoin on Coinbase,
mm-hmm.
and there should be a public wallet ID.
Okay.
And then you give that person, I believe, the public wallet ID, and I think there's a transaction ID or something.
But I have to go to a cheeseburger shop that takes Bitcoin, right?
Right. So they'll have their own Bitcoin wallet, perhaps on Coinbase.
Okay.
Which is one of the most popular exchanges. And so you'll give them your the transaction or pub. I can't remember which one it is, but you'll basically give them a unique identifier for yourself. And then they'll say, well, that's, you know, 0.0005 bitcoins or something, whatever the appropriate amount of Bitcoin is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll request the funds from your Bitcoin account. And then after the the next hash period ends, which can take a day or two at this point, mm-hmm. the Bitcoin will transfer from your wallet to their wallet.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I was just wishing that I could get like a Bitcoin debit card. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, they have you can have a Bitcoin wallet, an actual little device that has your Bitcoin wallet on it.
Okay.
And you can use those to some extent. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of being hashed out.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Got it.
I guess I know, really. I guess you can use that a QR code as well.
Yeah, it'll generate a QR code and they can scan the QR code for the transaction.
All right. So, yeah, I can't wait until, you know, I'll be getting up tomorrow morning with bated breath waiting to find out what the Bitcoin market is doing. So, I guess all I need now is like a real-time Bitcoin monitoring app for my phone so I can just, you know, kind of sit around and
I just use the Coinbase charts.
Sit on the edge of my chair and just wait for it to.
Or there's the GAX Bitcoin exchange and mm-hmm. you can watch it. The bids in real time, kind of like a stock exchange.
Because I saw that Bitcoin had just gone, kind of dropped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
However, I mean, it's up $10,160 this year. That's in 28 days, right? So,
well, that's over the last, that's annualized. So that's 365 days previous.
Okay. All right, got it. Well, that's still pretty good. But, it's looking like I should have bought some last February, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I was watching this video and the guy was, you know, ordering some food in a shawarma shop. And he basically said, I bought one of these like 9 months ago. Now it was the most expensive shawarma I've ever had. It's the $9 that he paid for it, you know, is now worth. So it's an interesting way to think about it, you know. It's part of me goes, I don't want to spend.
Well, and we're used to thinking of in terms of a deflationary currency, where this is we're used to thinking of in terms of an inflationary currency, and this is a deflationary currency.
Okay.
So as the dollar becomes worth, as we print more money, it becomes worth less because there's more of it around, although if the economy grows at the same scale, at the same speed, theoretically, then you get into economics and all kinds of things. But there will only ever be 21 million bitcoins.
Okay.
So that's the number of bitcoins that there will be. And so at some point, one bitcoin hypothetically may be worth, $1 million or $1 billion. And the transaction.
So they're not going to do like they do with like a stock split. Where all of a sudden there's 40,000 bitcoins and, So,
not that I'm aware of. That's not planned, but I get probably theoretically that would be possible in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, there's no intention of doing that.
Okay. You know, we should give out our numbers. So if there's any other fledgling Bitcoin millionaires out there, or even just like full blown Bitcoin millionaires out there, they can call in and tell us about their Bitcoin experience.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976, 970-963-2976. Call in with your printer questions, Bitcoin questions.
That's right.
Any technical related or...
If you call in now, we'll give you $105 cable jiggling for free over the air. So that's what I call it. I went on one of those this morning. So
that's the second most useful.
Yes, right after turning it off and back on again.
You're right,
and actually there was a turn an off and on involved with the cable jiggling. And, but it all came together in a perfect storm of repair and fixed it. This is going to be very exciting. You know, I guess Bitcoin is down $360 today from, I'm guessing, the previous 24-hour period?
Yeah. depending on the chart you're looking at.
There is no open or close time.
No.
Technically. Or actually, I noticed that it opens at 12:01 and it closes at 11:59. So I guess there's a 2 minute resting period or something. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, yeah, you can see what I've been obsessing about all day.
The other 1,718 minutes, it's ready to rock.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So, I had no idea it was so simple to get into it. And it'll be a very interesting experiment. And I will continue to update our listeners about that. So, I wanted to ask you, Matt, have you purchased a Elon Musk flamethrower yet?
No, markup on that, I'm planning my own.
Yeah.
At this point, okay. Yes.
All right. So actually, Matt and I were conspiring to come in to build our own flamethrowers using those weed burners and, undercut Elon Musk.
Yeah. I mean, unless he's using hypergolic fuel to power his. But
how many Bitcoin do you suppose it would cost to buy one of those? I'm just kidding.
They're $500, so we can do the math.
Very nice.
So
yeah. So I don't know. You know, I just there's this rogue element of Elon Musk that I just love. You know, he just at first I thought, you know, because his company's called the Boring Company, I thought that he was just being kind of tongue in cheek about how boring it is, but it actually has to do with his goal to build subway tunnels. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I thought they were going to do that for a Hyperloop.
Is that the Hyperloops are going to be in bored out tunnels under the ground?
That was my understanding.
Okay. All right.
Because I thought they were going to set up a boring company to bore the tunnels for the Hyperloop.
Okay. Got it.
Apparently they're making flamethrowers in the medium.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I can see the connection.
Yeah. Kinda. Well, if you heat up the right kind of rock with a flame, it'll chip off and fall apart. Yep.
So I wanted to ask you, have you worked with any home control technology at all, Matt?
A little, not very much. Ubiquiti came out with some IP controllable switches and wall sockets.
Okay.
And I've worked with them a little bit. Yeah.
So when you say switch, is it because I have a kit that a customer gave me that it just kind of like glues onto your regular switch. It's like for the rocker type switches. Anyway, we got a call really quick. It's something more interesting than what we're talking about.
So. You're on with the geeks.
Hey geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. How you doing, Donna?
Pretty good. I just was listening. I just got on. And are you guys talking about like home pods or whatever you call them?
Well, we're talking about home control. I've got a customer who wants to just completely deck her house out home control top to bottom. You know, it's like thermostats. And actually, we've already done the thermostats. I'm trying to remember the name of the... it's a Honeywell Lyric. Have you heard of those before?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know some Honeywell products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, ultimately there's going to be a pod that you talk to. But she also wants to be able to, when she like is getting ready to leave her job in Aspen, to log onto her smartphone and turn the heat up, for instance, you know, have the house be nice and toasty when she gets home. And, things like that. But, have you worked with any of that kind of stuff? I think you talked about Alexa, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago?
I did, but yeah. I haven't worked with any of that lately, but I know, a friend of mine has the remote controlled thermostat, which has been really nice because she has a dog. I'd also like a remote controlled, where the dog, the doggy door can, go up or down if you want it to, or also remote control food for the dog or the cat. Mm-hmm.
I've seen one of those.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's got a little webcam and you can release a treat for the dog to come by. And
okay.
Yes. Right. But it's nice if all of these things could be integrated into one app, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are remote controls that you can program, universal remote controls, right? That you can program that have apps.
Yep.
But if I don't know if I would think you could do it so you log in remotely and control it that way too, but mm-hmm. Instead of just being at your house, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, my take on it is that for any of this to be relevant, anybody that's developing any of this type of technology that's not doing it on a cloud basis is just setting themselves up for like a very hurried up period of cloud development.
Right.
Because, you know, the bottom line is it's like everything is going that direction. I mean, this Lyric, it's all cloud based. And, you know, very simple to just, you know, open up the Lyric app and basically shows you your two thermostats in the house or whatever. And you basically say, you know, yeah, turn the master bedroom up to 73. And, you know, whatever.
It would be nice if you could have all those could be integrated. I'm sure they all have APIs that you can, mm-hmm. you know, that app developers can that way you can get all these devices under one app instead of going to the webcam app for your cameras and then your thing for your dog and then the thing for the thermostat and then the thing for the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's kind of how the fourth screen on my iPhone looks. It's this conglomeration of those apps.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get you.
I wanted to mention that, you know, after all this time I've been struggling with the, you know, where to put all my data, and I finally just spent the $20 on Google G Drive.
Uh-huh.
And upgraded to 100 gigabytes, and I'm just porting all my personal stuff onto that G Drive.
Mm-hmm. So, now, is that a one-time charge, or, I mean...
For a year.
How much is it a year?
20.
$20.
$20. Wow.
For 100 gigs.
Okay.
Which is plenty for
me.
Let's
see, now, what's the... iCloud is $9.99, but that's like 2 terabytes, isn't it, or something?
That's $9.99 a month.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I have actually been compiling a Excel spreadsheet with all of the online data storage providers and a list of their costs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, I'd like to see that when you.
Yeah,
you know,
we should
when
put that on the GeekSpeak website. We should like really use the GeekSpeak website. Is what we should do.
Should.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to this article of what it was that I was looking at. This other technology. Anyway, while I'm looking for that.
Well, while you're looking for that, by the way, part of the reason I'm doing all this is that I'm going to be moving to Florida. So
what?
I'll still be, it will still be your remote correspondent.
Okay.
Your foreign correspondent.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're still going to be working for Viasat?
No, I'm going to work for a company called Harris.
Ah.
So, but I will hopefully still be able to call in. But one of the things I was going to mention, it'll be on a like a secret project. But you know, I plan to put in my router when I get to Florida. I'm going to set up a VPN router. So at some point, I wanted to talk to you guys maybe next week about what VPN routers you might suggest, and not this week, but next week, talk about. You know, why a person might want a VPN router and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's a topic for next week.
I think we should like give you the name of a really insecure VPN router and then Matt and I will hack into it on air.
That's funny.
And break into your stuff and do some deep packet inspection. See where you've been going.
Yeah. So
nice.
Anyway, I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, but I did want to mention about that G Drive. You know, it's a cheap solution, you know, at least for the next year I can use it, and it's not expensive, and it's super easy to use. So, I don't know. I'll be looking forward to hearing seeing what Matt comes up with on his spreadsheet.
Well, I'll go through the list here in a moment of the ones I've looked at already.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So I trust this is a upward vector for you in your professional life.
It is for me. And
or do you just want to be in Florida?
A lot cheaper.
Oh
no, I don't. But you know, the cost of living is so much cheaper, and now that my parents are both passed, it's just a good time to think about the fact that it's a lot cheaper to live there. And
got it. And what part of Florida?
Palm Bay, next to Melbourne.
Okay.
South of it's like 30 minutes south of Cape Canaveral. On the East Coast.
All right.
So hopefully I'll still be able to call in from there. And I should be because it'll be 2 hours later. So
except
I'll
you'll be fixing dinner when you call in. So
I'll be
that'll
fixing
be your,
dinner.
It'll be the Donna, the Donna dinner report.
That's right.
Nice.
Anyway, so right. I'll
and,
tell you
and,
more
and,
later.
How soon that's going to happen?
My start date's March 19th.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll All talk right. more, but I'll yeah. listen to the rest of the show. Thanks,
Great.
Guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. So I'm using a tool called rclone, which is allows you to clone a folder to a cloud service.
Okay.
And then this list is based on what that supports, and I think it covers a large portion of the cloud storage.
Okay.
We got another call though.
Okay.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, I noticed there was a rather intersection of geek and athleticism going on today in the news. You guys want to elaborate on that a little bit, or are you still researching it?
Which one was that? The flamethrower?
That one was about the Fitbit thing where all of the paths of everybody on Fitbit are posted and recorded online, including all military personnel carrying them.
Well, now the article that I was reading didn't implicate Fitbit in that at all.
But it just said fitness trackers.
It's an app called, Strava. Or is that just the one soldier's name? I don't know. It says, fitness app's heat map is taking some heat because it may be endangering the troops. Strava's app has been accused of making U.S. military bases clearly identifiable and mappable. For example, if a soldier is using the app going on a daily run, that could be available for all to see through the app. Knowing the troops' movements on bases is a definite security risk. So, anyway, I guess Billy Bob didn't like me reading that to him. He hung up on us. But so, what's your take on it, Matt?
Well, you need to be careful when you're accumulating data for yourself.
Yeah,
especially if it's publicly available by default.
Okay.
I think it's very similar to controlling what your public Facebook account looks like.
Okay.
So
I'm typing in, is Fitbit data tracked?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I saw an article on, I think, Slashdot about that. I'll see if I can find that real quick.
There's like an add-on application. This says MobileTrap lets you use the Fitbit app with the Fitbit device. By using your phone's sensors to track basic activity data. Well, I guess we'll have to look a little more into that, but I thought it was specifically an app made by a company called Strava.
Okay.
Or it must be a fitness band from Strava. Is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. The article I saw was on slashdot.org.
Okay.
Slashdot is spelled out, and then dot.org.
Oh, okay.
So Pentagon reviews GPS policies after fitness trackers reveal locations.
Uh-huh.
So, again, this is just...
To me,
it's controlling your public internet footprint.
Got it.
You know, so if you're a soul... You know, so they may just make it so that... And Strava is mentioned here.
Got it.
But that looks like a good jumping off point for doing some more research into it.
So Strava is a third-party... application that is basically interfaces with Fitbit. So I just use the Fitbit app on my phone. But we'll have to look into that a little bit more. But you know, if people want to track me, I'm very flattered. So they'll know that I had an epic workout at the gym yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding. Okay, the city of Palm Bay. I don't know. There's stuff about hurricane relief on their front page here. I think Donna Dalton may want to rethink this, but anyway.
she needs to do the same thing as the guy in California. He built a fireproof house. You need to build a hurricane-resistant house.
There you go.
So all your neighbors are like, you're kind of crazy. And then when the hurricane blows over your house, and you're just like, well, I just got to hose it out a little bit, and we're good.
Yeah. Wow.
As opposed to being blown away.
Because it seems to me like a hurricane-proof house would be kind of shaped, you know, kind of like really like really aerodynamic,
yeah.
Like really gently, you know, just like really long and just, you know, just look like a little bit of a zit, you
mm-hmm.
know, like a really big wide zit on the earth. So, I don't know. So, anyway, looks like we're about running out of time here. Anything else interesting you see?
Well, I was just going to go through the... Well, I guess we're out of time.
There we go.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll be back next week.